The Holy Gospel for the third Sunday of Lent is from Luke, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. At that very time, there were some present who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way that they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did." And then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit and found none. And so he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I've come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. There were all kinds of people that followed Jesus when he preached. We shouldn't assume they were all cut from the same cloth, because they weren't. And on this particular day in the gospel we just read, there seems to have been a few who brought their newspapers with them under their arms, or at least the first century equivalent of a newspaper. They waved it, and they showed Jesus the latest headline: "Pilate slaughters innocent Galileans on their way to the temple." And they showed him the headline, and they followed it with the question, "Teacher, do you think all of those innocent people who died were worse sinners than everyone else? Do you think they got what they deserved?" Now, Luke doesn't give any hint about the motives of the questioners. They may have been planted by Jesus' enemies to try to trap him theologically. It wouldn't have been the first time. Or they just as easily could have been genuine and sincere questions from people struggling with the ways of the divine in this complicated world. Regardless of the motives, Jesus' answer is not what they wanted or expected or came to hear. Jesus said, "You ask me, did they get what they deserved? Let me tell you, unless you repent, you'll end up just like them." And then Jesus pulls out his own newspaper and waves his own headline. "What about those poor 18 innocent people you heard about who were crushed a while ago when the Tower of Siloam fell on them? Did they get what they deserve?" And then he gives them the same answer he gave the first headline. "Let me tell you, unless you repent, you'll end up just like them." These are harsh words by Jesus. These are hard words. But what's almost worse is it feels like Jesus is dodging the question, isn't it? Doesn't it? He's being elusive. It sounds like he's avoiding the question, sounding uncomfortably like too many of the shady and dodgy politicians who have turned this into an art form these days. But we keep on reading, hoping that now that he's gotten their attention, Jesus will finally answer the question they asked. These are important questions, after all. Who of us hasn't asked questions like it? It's probably the most ancient question in our walk with God. We ask it over and over again. Where is God when bad things happen? How can a good God allow bad things to happen to good people? We've all asked that question. And Jesus will not answer it today. We read on, though, hoping that eventually he will get around to it and not disappoint us. But what he says next doesn't help, I'm afraid. He tells this parable. He pulls this parable out of thin air about a fig tree of all things. And a lousy fig tree at that. A fig tree that has had 3 years to bear fruit. And still not one measly fig has shown up. And finally the owner has had enough and tells the gardener to cut it down and stop wasting valuable dirt. The gardener, though, speaks up and he says, "Sir, give it one more year, just one more year. Then I'll spread manure around and fertilize it a bit. Then, if it doesn't bear fruit, then we'll chop it down and I'll hold the axe." Where do we go from here? We certainly encounter a different Jesus this morning than we're comfortable with. The one who comes to us as comfort and peace. This is not Jesus, gentle shepherd, softly and tenderly calling the sinners to come home, is it? There's nothing soft or tender about Jesus' words to his followers today. Yet he is calling, but as he calls, he's also saying, "Hurry up. Hurry up, because time is running out." Some in the crowd are there to have a theological discussion with Jesus about the ways of God in the world. But Jesus talks about repentance. Theological discussions, you see, are for those who have time to spare, hours and days to kill. Jesus says, "Friends, this is not you. Repent." I think we need some background before we go any further. Luke has been labeled as an apocalyptic gospel writer, and what that means is that when he wrote his gospel, his goal and his aim was to present the present day, the present age, as being so broken, so ruined, so messed up, that God has to start over again and bring in a brand new age, a new beginning. And Jesus is God's start over. Jesus comes as God's new beginning. Jesus announces that God's new beginning begins and ends in him. Jesus is the beginning, the breaking in of the kingdom of God that will bring to completion on the final day. So this is what all of Jesus' talk about the kingdom of God is about in Luke. And that is why Jesus is so stuck on this word repent, because he is all about the kingdom of God. If you look at the previous chapter, in chapter 12 of Luke, you'll see that the whole chapter has to do with the call of disciples to prepare for the coming of God's kingdom. In other words, repent. There's that word again. And repent, by the way, I want to be clear, does not mean feeling sorry, feeling really sorry, or feeling really, 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 really sorry. Repentance is not about promising to do better, either. Repentance has nothing to do with feelings or promises. It has everything to do with turning. A transformed mind, a new way of seeing, a new way of hearing, open eyes, receptive hearts, ready to embrace the new thing that God is doing in Jesus. As Matt Skinner reminds us, repentance can be more about being found than about finding oneself. It refers to an entirely reoriented self, to a new consciousness of one's shortcomings and one's circumstances. Well then, Jesus, tell us, what is the proof that I have repented? How will I know if I've repented rightly? Jesus' answer is this: by the fruit that you bear, that's how. So it brings us back to the fig tree. The fig tree, a failure, a disappointment, a stubborn refuser to do what it is called to do, unable by its own power to live as a fig tree ought to, unable to do the one thing it was planted to do, whether by will or by accident or genetic malfunction, none of the reasons matter. There are no figs on the fig tree, and it's got to go. The fig tree fails. No fruit. That's how it's judged. The writing is on the wall. The axe is coming soon. In fact, it's almost there. But wait. Wait. The voice of one speaks. The voice of grace speaks. One more year, sir. One more chance. It is not too late. There is still time. There is still hope. Not forever. But for now, there is this day. There is this time. There is this moment. The axe will wait. So what title shall we give the story of the fig tree? How about this one? When good things happen to a bad tree. When good things happen to a bad tree. That fits the story, doesn't it? Because a good thing has happened. The voice of grace has spoken. There is grace for the tree. There is one more day. There is one more chance. Did the tree deserve this grace? No, of course not. 3 years is a lifetime for a fig tree. By now, there should have been baskets full of figs. Fig tree had his chance and more. Fig tree fails. But good news comes. Grace comes in the voice of the one who calls out, one more year. Yes, it is true. A good thing has happened to a bad fig tree. So friends, I want to leave you with two words this morning. The first word is a challenge. And the challenge is this. We are fig trees. I think you've figured that out by now. And fellow fig tree, it is examination season, these Lenten weeks. By your fruit will you know them, says our Lord. Repent then. Open your eyes to see. Open your ears to hear. Open your hearts to receive. Ask yourself, what must change? What must grow? What must be abandoned and pruned away in order for the fruit of the kingdom of God to be born in me? That's the eternal, constant question of the repenter. What must change? What must grow? What must be abandoned, pruned away, in order for the fruit of the kingdom of God to be born in me? Ask the question. Repent. Turn. Give thanks. For you have been given one more chance. You have been given today. That is the word of challenge. The second word I give you, fig trees, fellow fig trees, is a word of consolation and hope. Because whatever fruit we may bear, however pure and sincere our repentance seems to be, it will never be enough. Not near, not ever. And this is the heart of the new kingdom that Jesus brings, that Jesus is. We will be known by our fruit, yes. But we will be judged through the cross of Christ alone. Let's be clear about that. God calls us to repent today. Yes, we can't pretend that the words aren't there. They are. And in Jesus, God lays all of our fruit and lack of fruit and declares this word of grace. In and through my Son, it is enough. Welcome home. One of my favorite contemporary writers is Chad Bird, and he has this perspective on the way that God sees us, God's vision, what and who God sees when God looks at us. Looks at us who are today the failing and the faulty fig trees. He writes this. He says, you know, our life as husbands and wives and moms and dads and teachers and truck drivers is a Jesus-only life. Whether we have a smiles and laughter year or a dumpster fire year, whether we are at the top of our game or hunkering down in the shadows of defeat, whether we completed an Ironman or we're so depressed we just binge-watch Netflix, every day of that year is lived in Christ alone. And then he concludes and he says, you know, when the Father sees us, he sees the Son. Period. Full stop. When the Father sees us, he sees the Son. He doesn't see a glowing success or an embarrassing failure. He sees Jesus. As Colossians reads, "You have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And there is no safer hiding place in the world than there." So that's the good news for us, fellow failing fig trees, today. In the meantime, what do? Yes, repent. With all your heart and will and mind and soul, serve the Lord with gladness, work for the kingdom, seek to be fruit bearers in your daily life, and in all of this, rest and rejoice and give thanks for the Father's very selective tunnel vision. For faulty fig tree, it is true about you. When the Father looks at you, in the end, the Father sees Jesus only. And that is enough. And that is enough. Thanks be to God. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.